One father, two sons, three microphones, and 64 great 90s movies. Welcome to Elimination Season 2.
Welcome to round two, everybody, of Elimination. It's very exciting times. I'm here with my dad, Dave.
Hello.
And the noisemaker herself, Pauline. How
Hello.
Are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad. Good. I'm very glad that you're well.
Are you being sarcastic?
I don't
that
know.
Didn't sound very truthful.
Yeah, guess what?
What?
It's round two.
It's round Woo. Two. We made it. We made it. There's a lot of films there. The Honourable Mentions episode was long, wasn't it?
God,
I had a dry throat.
What would that be? And you still had a dry throat?
Yeah. We gave Michael alcohol. That was a bad idea. Let's not do that again. So round two. So now we're down to 32.
Shall I pick one out, Robert?
Well, not yet.
Okay.
We are going to do the draw at the start of every episode, which is different from the last one. But also... No, got nothing to say. Can't remember what I was going to say. So, yeah, we might as well pick the films and go for it.
Right, here we go, then.
Here we go.
Not that one, this one.
Good luck, Dave.
It's the dude, the Big Lebowski.
Oh.
It needs an opponent. Oh.
Jurassic Park. Film.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're both very much justified. Considering, before we started season two, I hadn't seen The Big Lebowski, and Michael and Dad really pushed for it. Hadn't seen it, watched it for this, and I believe that I voted for it to go through to this round. So it is a good film.
I watched it for this as well, just in case I was here.
Well, you
Mike
are.
Was
you're,
busy. Yeah, you're here that now. Was lucky.
Yeah. Big Primal Fear, 3-0.
Yeah, see, and I really like Primal Fear, so, it is Jeff Bridges, our famous Jeff Daniels mistake.
But only Michaels.
Yeah, only Michaels, and Steve Buscemi, and John Goodman. I think I prefer John Goodman than the dude. I just like how angry he gets.
Oh,
Am I wrong? I just love that.
Yeah, he's good at this.
He's always got a point, but he makes it, and he's like, you can't pull a gun on somebody at bowling. He's got a weak disposition.
And you watched him in a film you hadn't seen before recently, didn't you? Recommended.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I didn't realise it was connected to...
Cloverfield.
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, where they're in the bunker.
Yeah, he's good in that as well,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he is good, yeah. And is it a thriller? There's a bit of a thriller vibe to it.
A bit sci-fi.
Yeah. It's a bit of a combo of them two. Have you seen Cloverfield,
no,
the original?
No, I've never seen that.
With the shaky camera.
I don't think you need to see Cloverfield.
No, no, you don't. I just wanted to make that link to it. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I've not seen that.
Oh, it's quite big when it came out. I don't think there are many Jeff Bridges characters as iconic as the dude. I mean, I knew about the dude before I even watched the film.
He is what makes the film for me. His whole character is just brilliant, I think.
You just want to know... what happens next?
Yeah, I just want to follow his life. I don't care about that.
Yeah. And I think that's Michael's made that point before, where you don't know who's got the money, you don't know whose toe it was or what the hell happened, but you just like his reactions to him. He
seems so fed up.
He
can't do no wrong for me. Jeff Bridges, he's one of my favourites.
What else is he in?
Arlington Road.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, he's there.
King Kong.
Oh, no.
1975.
Oh, no. That's the year I was born.
Is it?
Blade Runner?
Yeah,
was he in Blade?
No,
not Blade Runner. Tron.
I didn't like Tron. That was Tron.
He was also Batman. Oh, no, that's Val Kilmer. Sorry, getting confused.
Fucking
yeah.
Hell.
He'd make a good Batman, though.
He was also in the remake of True Grit.
Yeah, he was.
Can't do nothing for you, son.
It's gone.
Yeah. He was dying. It was one of his early films, Last Picture Show. That's filmed in black and white. That's a really good film.
He reminds me a little bit like Kurt Russell. He's got better with age, I think. They've just improved and got...
Yeah, I got
a lot. He does look a bit like him, actually, doesn't he?
Yeah, when they've got the beard, they do. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
He was in another good film in the 80s, Jagged Edge.
Well,
with Glenn Close. Glenn Close, not Glenn.
Oh, she plays the bunny boiler in...
Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, she's good in that.
Yeah.
Is that the...
What's the... Is that Squeaky Door?
What film is that?
With the Psycho.
In the shower.
Yeah, don't listen to me.
No, I mean, Jagged Edge, he's accused of murdering someone, and Glenn Close is the lawyer. Turns in to get him off.
I think I have seen that. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, we saw it.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen it. Yeah.
We saw that down in Brighton at the Pictures, me and your mum, when we was off for a weekend. I say we were in Pictures two...
Dirty weekend.
We were 2 days running, we saw that, and the other film we saw the following night was Clockwise. Remember that? John Cleese.
Yeah, that rings a bell. Yeah.
Where he's a school, he's a headmaster or a school teacher, and he's got to get somewhere, and he's frustrated.
Yeah.
He's very Basil Fawlty in it.
Yeah, well, that's his.
But he was all
right. Him at his best.
It was all right.
Yeah, that was. The amount of films that have been mentioned, I forget about.
The Santa Claus one he was in, wasn't he? Where the second one was terrible, but the first one was all right.
So, oh, the Santa Claus, yeah, that's right. Tim Allen one.
What? The one. Your Other Half was full of praise for.
Santa Claus the Movie?
No. What's it called? Coffee. It's bloody
cool. Oh, Chronicles.
Chronicles,
yeah. Yeah, the first
that little girl was really good.
Well, yeah.
The first one was all right. The second one, not so much. They're quite recent. They're like last couple of years.
I saw them.
He crashes and the little kid and the brother climb on board the sleigh.
That's Kurt Russell.
Oh, that's Kurt Russell, yeah. I told you reminded me of Kurt Russell.
Oh, I was really confused. Yeah.
He was good in Overboard with Goldie Hawn.
Oh, he was.
But Jeff Bridges, the dude in The Big Lebowski, you see him everywhere with T-shirts and everything, especially if you're on social media. A lot of the gifts are him, and I don't care what happens in my life, but if I get to the age of the dude and I look like that, I'm fine with it. Walking around in my dressing gown and slippers buying milk.
And that drink, what is that constant drink he's making? Isn't it disgusting looking?
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's like he puts evaporated milk in it.
Yeah, he
works. Top it up and then he stirs it. Oh.
And of course, Jurassic Park. Up against Jurassic Park. I mean,
well, that's one of your favourites, isn't it?
That's
Jurassic
a good.
It
one.
Is. It sounds sad, but it's an important film for me. If somebody said to me, "You can never watch Jurassic Park again," I'd be really I'd be grieving.
Even the tune. As soon as I hear that tune,
John
I
Williams
love it.
Again. John Williams is a great composer. Did Indiana Jones and all the classics.
Jaws,
yeah. Mm. E.T. Did he do E.T.? Maybe. yeah, I mean, and they are good, making another Jurassic Park, aren't they? I know they've done Jurassic World, but they're bringing back all the original cast.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
To me, the very, very, very first one is... Jurassic Park to me.
Bless you.
Oh, bless you, Dave.
Blimey.
That's the main one. The rest, I do like, but no, the first one.
Yeah, I mean, it changed the game.
Best,
it just, when I saw that as my tiny little mind as a kid, it just blew my mind. I wanted to see it again and again and again and again. And it stands up now. I still watch it, and it's just, I think it's Spielberg's best film.
It's iconic.
It is. I mean, the logo, the yellow and the red, and I had pencil cases, everything. It was. I've still got T-shirts now. I had to look down then. I'm not wearing.
He got back to the
T-shirt. Yeah. I thought I had it on. But yeah, it just is. I mean, did you?
What year was this? You haven't got your gumph, have you?
I want to say 92, 93.
It was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Did you watch it when it came out?
Yeah, I went to cinema with cousin Nicky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was really good. Especially the bit, I always remember the bit the first time I saw it when, you know, the bloke runs to the toilet and he's sitting on the toilet.
The lawyer,
yeah.
He left us.
And then the dinosaur comes down, takes the whole thing
he
off.
Just looks
that
at
was
him,
really
he?
Good, yeah. And the water, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, with the ripple, that was in the advert for it, weren't it?
Yeah, in the cinema when with the bass.
Yeah, it's
well.
Brilliant.
And you had Jeff Bridges, Jeff Goldblum sitting on the back of that truck, the little Jeep, and he's on his own and he's watching the puddle go. He's like, guys, anyone? Hello?
It was an exciting film when we were young.
Yeah, it was. And when you've talked previously, Dave, about how... you know, far-fetched things are, and oh yeah, but you can't have this, you can't have that. They did it in such a way that all these monster films, like your Godzilla versus whoever, and King Kong, and But this has actually got a plot of how they did it. And I mean, it is far-fetched, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this could really happen. But it's just... the way they did it and showed it as a ride,
yeah,
and the world is going to open, and it's before the park is open, and the disappointment of not seeing any dinosaurs, and oh, are you going to have any dinosaurs on this tour? I mean, you went to see it with us when we was kids.
Did I? Or did I go and see
no,
it?
You took it. You took us.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the story of us going first on our own, and then the
oh, yeah, that's your story. Yeah, we didn't know that until you.
No, you didn't know that. Yeah.
I think it's a great film.
Does it scream classic to you, or is it not?
Oh, yeah, I think it does. Yeah, it's a very good film. It could go a long way in this, I tell you.
Yeah, I think so.
I just love the glass.
The water.
And where they're getting away from it, it's chasing them down that road, like, you know.
The wing mirror says things might look closer.
Where's the goat? Where's the goat?
Oh, yeah.
And the goat's leg hits the top of the car.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Even them cars, you know, the yellow and all that. I swear, in Stroud, I've seen a Jeep-type thing with Jurassic Park.
Have you?
Yeah, I definitely have. Because I said to Vic...
That was a dream.
I was going to say, were you dreaming that?
I said to Vic, I said, look, there's a Jurassic Park. She was like, yep, yeah, grow up. which is true. I should. But I will never. are these two films, because you've watched Jurassic Park in the 90s when it was all big and all that kind of stuff, and you must have been a teenager then.
Yeah, we were born 75.
Yeah, so I was a
could
kid,
have been 20.
Yeah. So when you watched it, did it still sort of blow your mind?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, you think it wouldn't? Perhaps I was a bit thick then.
Yeah, I mean, then.
50-year-old bloke going to watch this film the first time when it came out and was a bit excited about it, Bob.
I know.
You don't have to be a kid.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's what I'm asking. I don't know. I was a kid, so that's my perception of it.
No, a lot of films leave a real impression on you, don't they?
Yeah. And that did, definitely.
Yeah.
If I was into tattoos, I'd probably have the logo tattooed on me.
What? No.
I'm not into tattoos.
But if
you think about some of the things people have tattooed onto them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is one thing that I would.
Have you got any tattoos?
Yeah.
Have you?
That doesn't work on podcasting.
I've got one
she
on
just showed
shoulder,
us her wrist.
I've got one on my wrist, I've got one on my ankle, and I've got one here.
Are they all words?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you got your
I've got to go at me like I've seen them before.
I've got an iris here, so, like mum's name.
Yeah.
You ain't got your ex-husband's name.
No, it's stupid.
Have you got my name on there somewhere?
I've got Bob and Dave. Mike,
elimination.
Arnie, Jack, wifey. Yeah, you can't see none of mine unless...
What's the point of having them there?
I like them. They're all something, aren't they, to me? Well, actually, they're not all... Two of them are.
But 50% of them
I was
are.
Only 15 when I had my first one.
Was it peer pressure?
No, I really, really, really wanted one.
Really?
So a bloke I was working with said, oh...
Hey, yeah, get me on your shoulder. All right, then.
He said, I'll take you.
Arthur.
And I signed my thing saying I was over 18, went home and went, Mum, look! And she really liked it. She went, oh, it's quite pretty, actually. Yeah. It's only a little butterfly here.
Oh, okay.
And she went, oh,
she's pointing to her shoulder.
Yeah.
The back of her shoulder.
Yeah, she went, oh, it's pretty, actually. I don't mind it. And that was it. What have you done?
I'm going to get loads.
But it does become addictive.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, you have one, you're instantly thinking, what's my next one going to be? Well, I was anyway.
Well, they
so how
that,
long
they
after,
you,
when you were 15, how old were you when you had your next one?
In my 20s. So,
not that addictive then.
Oh, I went with Auntie Yvonne.
Auntie Yvonne? Auntie Yvonne's got a tattoo. She goes to bed.
We went together.
Is that my name?
And I have one on my ankle, which I've had made bigger because it just looked like a splodge. Cause I was really nervous, so I got them to do the smallest little thing, but it looked stupid, so I've had it made bigger. And Yvonne had a...
So when did you get your last one?
3 years ago, and that was the iris.
And would you get another
that
one?
That hurt, really hurt.
She's pointing to her ribs.
To a rib.
Like rib
yeah,
underneath.
Just here.
You had it on your rib?
Yeah.
What, that opened you up?
Barbecue rib.
That did hurt bloody hell. But once you've started, you can't stop.
Yeah, I mean, you
kind of... have eye, wouldn't you?
No, it's flower. It's not a name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's had an iris. Oh, yeah, I should have explained that, shouldn't I? Yeah.
What colour is it? Purple?
Purpley, bluey, with a bit of white and yellow.
And have they faded at all?
No, I've only had this one a little. No, none of them have faded.
And are you going to get another one?
No.
No?
I can't think of anything that I would want.
So what would happen if Lewis, your son, came home with a big tattoo?
Oh, I couldn't care. Oh, I don't.
Well, he will listen to this. He will listen to this. So he's this is him getting permission.
He would do what he wants anyway, but no neck, no hands, no face, no. I don't like that. A tattoo on the neck, tattoo on the face. No. Love, hate on the knuckles. No. Or
love, hat because you lost a finger.
I'm not into that. A lot of people are, but I'm just not. So. But I couldn't care less if he wanted to come home and be tattooed.
I've never been... Maybe it's because you've always been against them days that I've never... there's just nothing... I've always been one for changing things around. Like, you know, as a kid, I used to change my room around a lot and change posters. And I never wanted it to be stagnant. I don't think there's anything that I would have on me that I wouldn't get bored of. And just think, oh, I wish I hadn't got that.
I don't really see mine.
Yeah, I suppose. If I had something on my back, the Jurassic Park logo on my back, it wouldn't matter, would it?
All right, suppose someone said to you, like, here's a grand, go and get yourself a tattoo, keep the change.
No, I'd be like, I can buy so many wrestling figures with that.
No, but you don't get it. You don't get it if you don't have the tattoo. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you either get a tattoo or not. No, yeah. I wouldn't. I'm not bothered.
Well, I suppose you had to have one to save Vic's life. What would you
have? No,
with Bobo. I thought you might have had Burkamp's number 10 shirt or something like that.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I mean. There is a list of things that I would get if I was going
to
get them.
Well, that's what we're trying to
Jurassic,
get out of you.
Jurassic Park would be one of them. Dennis Burkamp, the back of his shirt, would put the old-fashioned letters and that. Something to do with the Turtles, maybe. The WWF logo. All them kind of retro stuff. And when somebody, to be honest, when somebody's got a tattoo and they you see it or whatever, and I go, oh, what's that? And they put it up, and there's something behind it. I quite like that. It's when you
some
see
of them are absolutely brilliant.
Well, yeah, there was a guy I used to work with on his what's that there? That part of your arm?
His forearm.
He had like a samurai with the sun behind him. And it was all sort of like shaded, and it was the red of the sun, and it did look like a painting, like it looked amazing. But then I thought to myself, well, how it doesn't. I asked him the story behind it. He was like, no, I just like the picture. I'm just going to have it on me. And I was thinking, yeah, well, I see a picture, and I think, oh yeah, I like that, but I wouldn't want to look at that same picture for the rest of my life. Do you know what I mean? And there was no story behind it. It was no, he just had the money, so he got it done. You know,
the best tattoos I ever saw was a bloke in work called Matt, and he was, I think he was of Eastern European descent, but he was as English as anything, and we were queuing up at the clock to clock out at the end of the day, and it was boiling hot, it was a real summer's day, and he had no top on, and on his back he had two old-fashioned portraits of obviously his grandparents, and they I couldn't keep my eyes off his back. They just looked like photographs. Yeah. They were absolutely superb.
Which, getting somebody's face is very dangerous, I think, because some of them you see and you're like...
imagine if it's totally wrong. Oh, wonky eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, these were... I had a comment on it too about it. I said, your tattoos are fantastic.
Do you work out?
What would you have, Dave? Definitely an Arsenal thing, surely. We've spoken,
no. I probably had Dally Jamlet.
Oh, yeah.
He's spoken about doing this recently.
Yeah, I might have it done,
yeah. Dad, he's done early 60s, late 50s.
What do you
have? He's just got...
Late 50s? How old was he in the late 50s? He was about 10, wasn't he?
On the docks.
He's just got like a gothic-looking symbol type thing here.
And does it mean anything?
It's really nice. Him and Mum went on holiday...
And
he came home with it, and he was going to us, oh, look at my tattoo. We thought it was a joke, and was like, oh, dang, no tattoo.
Wash
and,
it off.
Yeah, and then he went, oh, not really, it's just a pen, I'm just joking. And we were like, oh, Dad. And he went, no, either. And
then he I don't know what to believe.
Like, for God's sake, is it real or not? And it was. Wow. Yeah. Mum really liked it. She said to him, go on, get it. And he did.
Does she have any tattoos?
No, Mum wouldn't have no tattoos.
But she liked, yeah, see, that's the difference.
She liked Dad with his tattoo, though.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole arms. To me,
the sleeves.
You can't see what they are. Yeah. I mean,
see, just... now I really like a sleeve on a bloke, on the right bloke.
On the right arm.
Yeah. On the right bloke, I think it looks really nice, a whole sleeve, all in like black and shaded.
I remember that bloke in the Big Brother house, Bob, who had the neck done. And it was all like green and yellow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not into colour much.
What's that going to look like when he's 50, you know?
Yeah, I know. And you do think about that. But well, younger people don't, you know. They're not going to think about when their body sags or, you know, whatever.
When you see footballers and they've got it all on their necks here,
I just think footballers have got so much time in their hands and so much money, it's like, eh. Oh, okay, I'll get a tattoo. That's what we do, you know. And then you get people like Sterling getting a gun on his leg and expecting nobody to comment on it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's bizarre. I mean, it's like when Beckham had that cross on his neck and it was a massive thing. Yeah. Tattoo, and it's like, well, just a tattoo. Like, I mean...
Go on, Dave, get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might do, yeah.
Where would you have it, though?
On my leg.
Yeah.
What's the worst tattoo you've ever seen?
Well, bloke in work had his kids on his back, really big, and they
Their names or their pictures?
No, the pictures. Oh, they were terrible pictures. They really were. It's like someone who couldn't...
Well, I hope he's not listening.
He's dead now.
Oh!
No, they were just horrible. They just didn't look nothing like... They didn't look real, you know, like Stepford kids.
I bet one day his kids came into work and they looked like that. They just looked weird.
Oh, you just got ugly kids.
They're really good tattoos now.
To make it really morbid, take it a bit darker, you can actually have... Well, I've seen this on... Is it... Tattoo Ink or some program, you know, when someone dies in the ashes, they can put that in with the some of the ash in with the
ink
and then tattoo it into your skin.
Why?
Don't know. I mean, it's not, I'm not into that, but
there was another tattoo. There was a bloke in work, a really good bloke, and what he wanted was a charging, prancing tiger looking fierce and that, you know, like jumping up at you. And he was talking about it. I said, well, show us here. You got to show us here. He said, oh, it's so orange.
Oh.
You couldn't sit. He says, it's just too orange. I'm going to have it done something to it. I said, let's have a look inside. Yeah. And blimey, it was as orange could be. But the tiger, instead of looking all fierce, it looked like the tiger off the Frosties.
Oh, no.
Great.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that's awful.
I see what you mean.
And that's the worry, isn't it? Because they're great. You know, you're going to get that reference. He's going to get that every time he shows any kind of mate or, you know, that bad guy. And that's it then.
And that's you,
yeah,
Dean.
Yeah. Oh, that's a guy. I used to work with a guy on his forearm, had him really bad writing. He had Gravesend.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, up to it. It was terrible. And I couldn't... awful.
Well, he's that Newcastle fan, wasn't he? He had right down his leg a head of Andy Cole, who was their leading goal.
No, it was in the kit as well. It was that he was celebrating, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said his head. In the Newcastle kit, the black and white.
And it's right down his leg of Andy Cole. And
top goal scorer, legend.
And about... a month or so later, they sold it to Manchester United, their biggest enemy.
And he became a United legend. Like, it's, yeah.
Oh, so
it's Man United player. I just had to change it, just draw over it. So you do get them drawn over, didn't you?
Yeah.
So mistakes are made.
Yeah, I mean, these girls that get their boyfriends' names.
Oh, I would never, ever, ever. Stupid. Unless it's obviously a child, I would never have anyone's name.
Yeah, because your child's always going to be your child. Yeah. But a boyfriend or a partner and that is...
No.
That...
So you wouldn't have Vicky across your back? Or...
No. I just, there's nothing that would... There's nothing you could say, this is it. This is what will be on your skin forever that I wouldn't get bored of.
Because you wouldn't say, we're going to put these pictures on you all in your living room, but you could never take them down.
That's what I mean. Your wallpaper, you're always going to change and update. And I just don't, especially, that, you know, you think about a fad back in the day. I always remember a guy, one of Michael's friends, actually, was a big, meaty bloke. I can't remember his name. Jim Goa, he's massive. He was about 6 foot tall. And he had this, like, tribal black... You know, like the spiky ends, almost like barbed wire, almost. You know, and it went right from his wrist all the way up, and it was partly on his neck. And it, to be honest, it made him look mean. Like, he looked like a scary bloke. He wasn't. But But then they stopped being friends and we never saw him again. But I always think, what does that look like now? Like,
yeah.
Because it was a fad then, so a lot of people had it. But now, nobody's got that, and it's on his neck. And you can't sort of think, oh, I'll just leave my top
Some people have this Chinese writing, don't they? But they don't know what it... What's it mean in English? I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a twat, you know. It could be no, couldn't it?
Yeah, but unless you go to China, you know... You know.
And it means chicken chow mein.
Number 44.
Yeah, sweet and sour chicken ball in your arm. Yeah, oh, it's crazy, isn't it? It's insane. But I just wouldn't. There's nothing. When I was in my raving days, the big thing was to have your tongue pierced. That was a massive thing.
Oh, I did
thing.
Think about that because I had my belly button pierced when I was young and the tattoo.
Oh, what, in one sitting?
Mum, come with me to have the belly button done. No, oh. It's different sitting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, completely numb. I didn't feel nothing. It was completely fine. But then when I was pregnant with Lewis, it was like disgusting. It was just like, it was just horrible. So I had to take it out because it was just stretching too much.
It's going to ping out and smash
and
the window.
My stomach was never flat after that, so I never went back in. You wouldn't be able to see it. It's in there somewhere.
But yeah, so piercings are the same for me. I mean, Michael had his eyebrow pierced, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah, that's what they called me.
He just took it out one day and he's got that scar now there forever. It's
like, so you've had nothing, no piercing, no tattoo?
I'm as pure as the day I was born. Well, no extra holes, no extra marks. Not man-made marks, anyway.
Dave, you should get wifey tattooed somewhere.
What, across my forehead?
In a curve across his belly.
I'm like them. Britain's Got Talent. What's that double act in Britain's Got Talent?
Don't know.
Oh my
Don't
god!
Don't watch it.
Stavros Flatley.
Oh, right, his son. Yeah. God, years ago.
No, geez. No, just come ahead when you said tattoo on the stomach.
Oh, okay. Well played. Right, it is now time for
Get It Off Your Chest.
We're going to make everyone feel better.
Hang on a minute. Why don't you have it all with the rest of us?
Oh, I don't know.
Do it again, Bob.
Yeah,
let's...
Get it off your chest.
Oh, jeez. That's why you don't do it.
That's why, yeah. Don't ever ask that question again, Dave. It's like she's in pain. right, we'll play it and then we'll explain who this is while Paulie gathers herself.
I need to get something off my chest. When I can see the buttermilk, then my dad's all... The chocolate and all the rest is empty wrappers. It makes me mad.
Oh, bless him.
I will play it again because it is hard to understand, but it's very valid. Get it off your chest.
I need to get something off my chest. When I can see the buttermilk, then my dad did all the chocolate and all the rest is empty wrappers. It makes me mad.
I love that little bit on the end. It's so cute.
The thing is, he's saying he's mad, but he's laughing. It's a contradictory. But so, do you want to explain, Pauline?
This is Ellison. He's only 7.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, and he wanted to join in with the Get It Off
Our youngest
chest.
Get It Off Your Chest. Yeah,
and you said any age.
Any age, any person. If you got something to that get... Something
any nationality.
Like, any nationality, which we've proven, yeah.
But he's right, though, isn't he?
Absolutely. So
every time he goes to get a chocolate out of this box, the dad's eating them all and all he's left is the wrappers.
There's nothing more irritating than that, is it? Where you go through and they put the empty wrapper back in. Oh, God, that irritates
me. I'm a bit bad for doing that. I don't like it when other people do it, but if I've done it, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, even if it's you that's done it, you think, who's done this? Yeah, I mean, why would you?
Oh, it's mean, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like the old Peter Kay thing where he goes over to the chocolate box and he opens it and there's a sewing kit in it. Like, oh, God! It's nothing quite... You don't really get over that, do you?
Oh, but he went up there and, oh, there's that box of chocolate. It's all excited, like Christmas.
Can I have a chocolate? Yeah, go on, help
Can
yourself.
I have one, Dad?
Anyone you like. Yeah. Yeah. All there is his empty wrappers.
That's in there, a chocolate around his mouth.
I remember when you were kids, we used to have, at Christmas, you had all the stuff on the tree, you know, the balls and all this. And you used to get the little chocolates, you used to hang them on.
In the shape of...
But come Christmas Day and that, you went up there and they were all wrappers folded up, so like they were still in there. They'd eaten them all.
Yeah.
So are you guilty of it? Do you put wrappers back in the celebration box?
I don't think I really eat many chocolates that are in a
Not over Christmas, you don't buy it.
No.
More of a nut man, aren't you?
Hey?
More of a...
I'm a nut job.
Yeah, more of a like a savoury kind of nut,
yeah,
cheese.
Like,
cheesy,
yeah.
Nutty...
Yeah, I mean, I do. Yeah.
Dave is cheesy and nutty.
I quite like the chocolates you get in the coins.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah,
I find them quite satisfying.
Yeah, but you don't put the. You know,
the celebrations, the ones where they had Mars bars. Yeah, and yeah. Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I mean they're all right, but
I thought everyone got a tub at Christmas. But Rosie,
you don't, it's too dodgy.
But you ain't got a sweet tooth, have you? Well, either you're
I mean,
not.
I mean, I have the odd chocolate bar on that. But
what chocolate bars do you eat?
Kit Kat, I like. Mint Aero. I like a Mint Aero.
Kit Kat and Mint Aero. How boring!
Bloody hell!
What's wrong with that then?
What's your favourite chocolate?
What would be your go-to?
That is not, I'm dying for a chocolate bar. I must have a Kit Kat.
I'll have a Kit Kat. I'm going to have a break and have a Kit Kat.
I like dark chocolate.
You do? Yeah, that is
a true. Dark Bounty, I don't mind. Dark chocolate.
Oh, the red one. Yeah.
And I like whole nut. I like nuts.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, see, nutty cheesy chocolate he loves.
Yeah, he's a nut.
He's a nutty cheesy chocolate eater.
A dark chocolate whole nut. That's it. I'll be in my element there.
What about you, Pauline? What's your go-to?
Dairy milk.
The what? Straight dairy milk? No.
Do you chew it or do you just let it dissolve?
Suck it and dissolve all in the mouth.
Oh, you messy pup.
Not if it's in your mouth.
And has chocolate got to be in the fridge or out the fridge?
In the fridge.
Oh, yes, right.
It's got a snap. It's got a snap.
I'm in the fridge person.
Oh, my missus don't know. She's like, oh, no, there's one in the cupboard that I put there earlier. And it's all soft.
Oh, it has to go in the fridge.
Yeah, I like it to snap. I like the big bars with stuff in them, like nuts. And they do ones with little bits of dime in it and little bits of crunchy. And
what's the ones you get, Bob? You've given me one now and again, the round.
Oh, the Lindor. The round ones,
they're a bit sickly, though, aren't they?
Well, you can't eat too many of them, But I bought a box of mixed ones. So it had white, normal, and it had white and normal in one as well. So, yeah.
Don't do white chocolate.
Oh, I love white chocolate.
Oh, no, I'm not keen.
It's too sweet.
If you grow up looking like the Milky Bar Kid, you love white
Milky
chocolate.
Milky Bar Kid is tough and strong.
I was neither of those things.
But Christmas isn't Christmas unless you have Ferrero Rocher.
I'm sure. With this Rocher, you're really spoiling us.
I always have a thing of Ferrero Rocher at Christmas.
Oh, again, they're Moorish,
aren't
they?
They're amazing.
They are. They're wafery, they're nutty.
Don't you like them? They're nutty. And that's got your Kit Kat and your whole nut in it.
They're all right. Yeah, they're all right.
What I like to do is put in my mouth, like any chocolate this is, put in my mouth and then drink a little bit of tea, just so the heat melts it.
Do you dunk
your
biscuit in a tea? Like chocolate biscuit. You say dark chocolate. I do like a dark chocolate digestive instead of a milk chocolate digestive.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And no calories at all.
Oh, that's why I can't eat none at that moment. Gotta get that dress on.
I mean, it's very justified, Ellison. It absolutely is. I mean, there is...
Shame on Dad.
I don't... Yeah, if you... We should... What's his name? Do we know the dad's name?
Dan. He's the one that done the...
Dan, the birthday boy we did a little while back.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, we wouldn't have done it if we knew he did this. We wouldn't be supporting Dan if we knew that he was taking chocolates and putting the wrapper back in the package. That just doesn't happen. Yeah. Shame on you, Dan. I take my I get it off your chest from you back. Yeah. And Ellison, thank you very much for
getting
Well done, Ellison. And if there's anything else your dad Dan does, get in touch.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Just going to play that end bit again.
It makes me mad.
Oh, it's so funny, isn't
it? It's such a contradiction. It makes me mad. He's laughing. Well, that was...
Get it off your chest.
I ain't doing it, I play everyone away.
I wonder if in 10 years' time his dad will be drinking all the cans of lager and putting the empty cans back in the fridge.
Yeah, I'll tell you what my dad does.
Does my fucking idiot. He's a fucking mug. I'll fucking have him.
Makes me mad. Oh, well, thank you very much, Ellison. It's a pleasure to have you as part of the Elimination family.
Yeah, definitely. Indeed.
Dan, you are removed. my favourite of all time, you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you, Dime Bar. Love a Dime Bar.
Oh, what a lick down that is.
What?
Dime Bar.
I love a Dime Bar, yeah.
Sickly muck.
That's some chewy in the middle.
What I do is I suck it, take the chocolate off, And then, not all of it, obviously, that's impossible. Well, maybe it's a challenge I can take up. And then the bit in the middle is like, as you suck it, it goes soft and crunchy and nutty. And, oh, it's brilliant. But I'm salivating.
I like an after eight, after a curry.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You had
that's
her.
That's another Christmas thing.
You had her at after eight. You lost her at curry.
Yeah, it's helps in the digestion, didn't it, I mean?
I suppose so.
I don't think so, Dave. You just eaten a massive curry and 20 beers, and then you have one after eight. That'll help.
Who said anything about one?
Yeah, because when we've gone out for our curries, we do have a mint with our coffee, don't we?
Yeah.
They bring us a mint and a flannel.
And a flannel, yeah. And they give you a little
square chocolate as well, don't they?
I love that flannel thing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And you always do the same old joke, don't you?
And it's funny every
washing
time.
Washing your back.
Yeah, wash my back and under the armpits and that. Oh, the kids love it. Yeah, there's no kids there.
And what do you sing while you do it?
What do I do?
I wash your back.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I want you back, yeah. Which aren't the words. I make that song my own. So if you're listening, X Factor. So getting back to it, I mean, are these two justified to be in the 32?
Yeah.
Now we've gone from 64, 32.
Definitely in the 64.
Jurassic Park, 1,000,000%. The other one, I do like it, but Sister Act's better than that.
She won't let it lie, will she? She won't let it go.
In my opinion.
My God.
Yeah, I think I liked it though.
Yeah, I'm glad that I got to watch it. It's massive.
Steve Buscemi again.
Steve Buscemi, who the Fargo joke that he doesn't actually have any words.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donnie. The guy, yeah. Yeah, I will watch it again because I do feel like it's a film that you'll see more second time round.
I don't think I'll watch it again.
No?
No. Oh. I've seen it once. I didn't really have a clue what was going on. And then the woman with the ginger hair, what was she all about?
Yeah, there's like
the only thing I really liked about this film was him.
The dude, yeah. He could have been doing anything.
He could have been in Sister Act.
Well, that's your opinion, man.
Yeah, that'd have been brilliant.
I bet there are blokes who talk like him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I bet there are a dime a dozen in America sort of blokes.
Stateside.
Yeah. If you are a dude lookalike, get in touch.
Or sound alike.
I did want to say, if you join us on Facebook, we have got more content there. If you're just listening to us on the app, we do get sponsors if you've got a little company, or if you've got music, if you write your own music, get in touch and we'll play it at the end of the episode. Is it time, Dave?
Yeah, if you want, I'm ready for go.
Diary.
Wah, 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 wah.
Ba, 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 ba.
It's Friday, May the 7th. Now, this is a pretty tragic one.
Oh, God.
Ill all day.
Oh, no.
But go to work.
Dedicated. Yeah.
I'm late, 9:25.
What was that song?
What song?
The one I'm singing.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, that's right. Don't worry, forget it.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, what's his name that used to do all the...
I don't know what happened because I didn't hear anything.
You're not supposed to talk about anything else while I do a diary.
Record breakers.
Yeah.
Roy Castle.
Yeah, Dedication.
That's the name of the game.
That's Roger, if you want to be a record breaker. I know what I mean.
I thought you was just reacting to what he said like I was.
No.
I didn't realise. And I said Dedication.
Yeah, and then I sung it.
Song,
yeah. And I thought you were with me on the song.
I can't wait to listen back to this.
Oh, don't.
Sorry, Dave.
Should we start again?
Yeah, start again.
Diary.
Ba, 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 ba.
Ill all day.
Oh, not all day.
But go to work. I'm late. 9:25. Stay in at night.
Oh.
But there's a little...
Oh.
There's a little extra piece.
Oh, hello.
Because if you look at that, Robert, it says Friday, 7th of May.
Yeah.
But on that day, this happened.
I'm so excited.
There's a little badge with
a little sticker.
Little badge.
Children's Day.
I'm going to have to take a picture of that, Dave, so that people
and
on Facebook can see.
And you put that in the back of the diary.
Yeah, because it happened on this day. Yeah. And it says, given to me after contributing to a collection by Trolley Lady Mabel in the afternoon of 7th of May 1971. So she was collecting for charity. And even though I was ill, I came out, because she used to come around with rolls and cakes and tea and that. I went out there and she had a little tin. I said, oh, that's all right, Mabel, in you go. And she's still alive today. She's 137.
You're actually a hero.
A hero or an ear roll?
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, that was May the 7th.
That was a good day.
That was. Wow. That was it.
That was,
I mean, ill day. I mean, do you know what it was? Stomach bug or?
No, it didn't say. And I can't remember. It probably was stomach bug. I don't know if anything happened.
Wasn't
on a
hangover.
Thursday.
I mean, he was ill all day, but he still went to work. I'm surprised at that. That's
especially since he's always late. You think he think, oh, that's a good opportunity.
Yeah, bollocks. Yeah. Bollocks it. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well played, Dave.
Perhaps Nan said, get your ass to work. You're not that ill.
Probably.
I don't want to go to work.
My boss back in that job was a bloke called his name was Bob Codman, but no one could call him Bob. It was just his superiors called him Bob. We had to call him Mr. Codman. And my first job in the morning was I used to come in and there'd be he used to sort out some checks. And I used to have to go and get these checks signed by the directors and that. And then I'd have to send them off. That was the first job of the day. But when I was late, he used to hold, if I come in on time, that they were normally there. But if I was late, he must have gone round and picked him up again and taken him back to his desk because they weren't there when I came in. And as I sat down, he used to throw them across the desk as his protest about me being late.
I'm not well, Bob. I mean, Mr. Cotman.
He used to come up by train from Herne Bay.
Jesus. Bloody hell, that's a... Yeah,
so that's the old
Albert Embankment, yeah.
The old fashioned trains as well, like the steam and everything.
Where to put your hand out.
See, she loves the sound effects, yeah. Yeah, you have to put your hand out and then get off the train before it stopped. Yeah, that's what people used to do.
Oh,
wouldn't
I didn't do that.
Whack the door open, and then if you've got an old lady behind her, shut the door.
And you used to pull the window down, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, same as the buses. You just go around a corner, and rather than go 200 yards down the bus stop, you just jump off at the corner from the platform. Let's do that all the time.
I'd have broke my neck.
Health and safety.
No, so you should slow down, because you go around the corner, you should slow down quite a bit.
So you could just jump.
And you have to go for it, because it's a long bloody walk back.
Didn't like the conductor or anything say, oi, don't do that?
No. Is he?
If you're going to do that, wear a hat.
He's waiting for you to go ass over it, isn't he? That's so what he's waiting for.
He had his phone out, videoing it.
Phone? Yeah. Good old days.
The glory years, we call them.
I used to like the old buses with the platform. Much better than the ones today, I know.
Yeah, but it's health and safety, isn't it? You
know, a lot of character.
How many people broke their leg getting off the bus?
Quite a few over the years, I would suspect.
Or the train, that gap. On the train was
that
away.
Gap seemed big,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Well, your legs were smaller,
yeah.
So. When I used to get on the train, I never used the door. I used to use a hazard and jump up and fly through the window with feet first.
Start skiing up.
Oh, the good old boy.
Okay, that's a very insight into your life, Dave. Mm. I very much appreciate it.
It's all right, anytime.
I love the little information at the back,
yeah. And I've taken a picture of the badge, so if you want to see the badge, I've taken a picture, I'll put it on the Facebook page.
So much in that diary, considering it's so tiny, it's like Mary Poppins' bag.
Yeah, it is.
It's like Doctor Who's diary.
It is.
A little TARDIS diary.
Yeah, it is. Wow. Full of information.
And a nice colour too, grey.
Yeah.
Nice cheerful colour.
Nice positive colour, yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like, Pauline, that this is easy for you.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, should I not have said that right?
No, no, you can say whatever you want. It's it's freedom of speech, but you can't say that.
Yeah, it is easy for me, yeah.
Have you seen Jurassic Park a lot? Would you say it's... If you had a playlist of your films that you've seen over and over again...
Yeah, I'd say it's... I must have seen it 40 times.
Yeah.
A lot, yeah, definitely. I've even got it on my Virgin list of films.
What's his name?
So it is. So really, the other one didn't stand a chance.
Sometimes Jurassic Park is one of those films, much like The Matrix for me, is one of those films that I can always put on when I'm doing something else. Like, if I'm, sometimes I write scripts or I'll edit this show or not this show, but download it onto the website and all that kind of stuff. And I'll have this in the background because just kind of playing.
Yeah, they can do that.
It's, I love that. I love that.
It's really better at music on, isn't it?
When I was a kid, I used to have two TVs. I used to play FIFA on one and have a film going on the other. I used to love it.
I used to love it when I got the electric bill.
Then I'd have my lamp on during the day. Heated blanket. CD player going.
There'd be Michael in his bedroom the same. I mean...
Oh, no.
All spinning around like a 78.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Were you saying that? I used to be like that about the film Dirty Dancing. But yeah. I still am. I can have that on and know all the words and know where I am. Like, miss... 40 minutes,
we
come back
and
know exactly where I am.
So we do best films of the '80s. We're gonna have Dirty Dancing.
Oh, that'll win. We don't need to.
Do that. I don't think it will.
Nobody puts Pauline in the corner.
Oh, I love it. I went to see that at the West End.
Yeah,
that was good.
Was that, were they songs from the actual thing?
Yeah, exactly like the film. And I bought a T-shirt with "I carried a watermelon" written on it. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the program "The Films That Made Us"?
No.
Oh, you would love it. They do a Dirty Dance. What they do is they did it with Die Hard, Home Alone, Dirty Dancing. I think Ghostbusters was the other one. And what they do is they just talk to the people that made it and how they made it. And they go back to the locations and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he picks her up in the lake.
Yeah.
The lake's not there anymore. It's all land. But the breeze block that he stood on is still there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's just little things like that. And when he jumps off the stage, he had to do it so many times he really injured himself. And he did it over and over again. But he wouldn't stop doing it until they got it perfect. So, you know,
was good in that.
And they talk about the casting as well. They hated each other, the two.
I heard that. I didn't know if that was true.
Oh, you need to watch that program. As a Dirty Dancing fan, I mean, I like it just because I like the film, you know, films as a whole thing. But you, as a fan of that, you'd love it.
Yeah,
all the background, they show all the footage of them practicing the dancing and in the studio before they go on set.
Oh, that sounds right up my street.
Yeah,
where would you see that?
It's on Netflix. Yeah, The Films That Made Us. Oh. There's a program they made before that called The Toys That Made Us, which I obviously like.
Can you text me it later so I'll remember what it's called? Because I'll get home and think, what was that?
The Toys That Made Us. Films That Made Us.
What happened to the girl in it? She didn't have a career afterwards, did she?
Well,
no. Jennifer Grey, is it?
She was a judge on Strictly. A few years back.
Well, she had a nose job, didn't she? And it changed her whole career.
Changed her whole face.
Yeah, because it's like when you've got somebody like, say, Michael Caine. Oh, we've got Michael Caine here, but he's not going to wear his glasses and he's going to wear a bag over his head. It's like, well, it's not him then, is it? And that's what it was for her. She had a nose job. She looked completely different. She looked like a different person. And it's like almost like she had to start again because she wasn't the girl from Dirty Dancing anymore. It's, a bit of a sad story, that.
Well, he came to a bit of a sad end, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, some of the pictures of him in his later life is really quite sad. When I always admired him in the way he just looked good. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, he
looked
amazing.
Yeah, he just, and a good actor as well. I mean, Ghost was a great film. And He was a heartthrob of that era. He's just such a shame. But he did live a good life, so
he had his moments. He reached the heights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sadder if he didn't, you know. But
is this hard for you?
No, it's not. Oh. I mean, the funny thing is, The Big Lebowski I really love, and the character is iconic. But for me, Jurassic Park is important to me. I don't know I don't know how to define that, but it's one of those films that I couldn't not have it there. It just reminds me of so much nostalgic, and I get that exciting feeling every time I watch it. And even when I watch Jurassic World, when the advert came out, the trailer of that, and it just had him on like the piano, he went ding ding
ding,
and I just got excited, and I know the third one is not very good, and I don't know where they're
is
going.
The third one with William H. Macy, that's
right,
one?
Yeah, it was all right, but I can still watch it because it's the music, it's the
I can still watch them.
I think it's the same reason I like the early Walking Deads is because when they're on the when they're out in the wild and everything's open, you don't know what you're going to come across. And it's like Walking Dead in that respect. They're walking along a road and they don't know what they're going to come up to. I like that kind of journey.
That was brilliant in the beginning, wasn't it?
Walking Dead? It was. I've started giving Fear the Walking Dead a go. Because I want.
Oh, see, I've not bothered with
I want to. I want a taste of it again. I want to kind of.
Me and your mum started watching that, but we got fed up with it.
I'm on season three, so I've made it quite far. But
we stopped watching it when they were on the boat.
But it has got the best bit is after that when they go into the hotel and they get the electrics working and obviously the light comes up boom on the top of the hotel and then all the walkers from distance go and they just come out and they try to clear all the floors and all, they try and get it empty so that they can live in it and they just messed it up because of the lights and now it's kind of gone where Walking Dead went, where there's loads of people.
I still watch that. I don't know why.
I still am watching it. Yeah, I've just recorded in the last...
That episode in the last series where...
I've only seen two in the new series.
Oh, okay.
So I've still...
Well, you know it's going to be rubbish, don't you?
Yeah, it's not... it's like, just, Maggie come back.
I feel like she's nothing.
I really liked her.
In the early bit where they was at the farm, the ranch, she was quite a good character, but now she's just miserable all the time. But
well, she has got right to be.
Oh, get over it. I've put so much into it, I want to see it to the
that's
end.
Exactly
but
like me.
Every episode's terrible.
It took me a while to kind of. No, I'm done. I can't do this.
If I hadn't been retired, I wouldn't have watched it because I wouldn't have watched it when.
The best episode was when Negan had them all on their knees.
Oh, that was season end.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
But even then, I was sort of getting.
Then he killed Glenn.
Oh, and the other bloke, I like the other bloke as well. The big bloke he killed as well, didn't he?
Oh, the guy with the handlebar moustache.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are we talking about the same?
I gave up. Well, I think when the bloke came in and he had the tiger, I just thought, nah, this is...
Oh, that's
what
he started.
The king.
But then they got into this big battle and the tiger got loose and he was only attacking the bad guys. Like, he knew. Yeah. Like, and I just thought, this is ridiculous. And I think at the same sort of time, you had the people that were living in the rubbish tip. And and they were talking in a weird kind of way. And I just thought...
She went off with... She's the one who took... Rick away, wasn't she, on the helicopter?
Yeah.
So that was a bit odd there.
What, whatever happened to him? I mean, we thought he was dead, blown up, and then you see him in the helicopter going off, in the rubbish dump. Calls the helicopter, don't you?
Strange hairstyle.
I've
got to say, this ain't a spoiler, because you know it's going to be rubbish anyway. In one episode of that series you haven't seen yet, the whole episode is Carol making soup and Daryl fixing his bike. That's it, the whole episode. It's absolute...
But I've got
and they don't talk to each other, they whisper that.
They whisper, especially Daryl. There's
no one else around. It's really upsetting the way he can't get on with anyone. I mean, talk!
Yeah.
But by the end of that episode, Carol eats Daryl's bike and Daryl rides the soup off into the sunset. Yeah. So it does end well.
It's a good episode when she died in childbirth, though.
Who?
Rick's wife.
Right at
the beginning.
Yeah. That was when it was really good. You had the prison, and you thought, and then there were prisoners still in there, and they didn't really know what was going on. And it was so good. It was so good.
I mean, the biggest shock I saw was when they was on the sort of railway tracks, and you had that big girl who was like doing the medical stuff.
Oh,
and she was standing there talking, and she got shot in the eye with a crossbow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And then Daryl was after him, wasn't he?
The biggest shock for me that actually made me sort of go, no! You know, it was when Carol had to kill that kid. Kill the little girl she thought the people were, if she killed her mate, it's right, she'll come back. She'll come back. Yeah. And she had to kill her because she was messed up.
She couldn't.
And he just thought, well... There is no answer. She has to kill her. Like, she's...
And the one where their heads were all on the... And it was going along, each head was on the stick, and you didn't know who had died, and it got right to the end, and that Carol's so-called son, he was the last one.
And when her daughter come out the shed.
That's right.
She went missing, didn't she?
Yeah, that's one of my favourites as well.
They go back to the road.
It had its moments.
It was amazing.
And their ratings, because me and Lewis always look at each episode. Lewis has given up with it a long time ago. But in the start, he'd go, God, Mum, the next one's going to be really good. It's 9 point whatever. So they were all high to start with. And then it was 7, 6, 5 point.
Yeah, I just...
And then he gave up I
don't know how anybody is carrying on with it. I used to talk to a bloke in work, and we used to talk about it all the time, and every time when there was an episode, we'd watch it and then come back into work and go, did you watch it? Yeah. Oh, I think I'm gonna stop now. I think, yeah, me too. And then another one comes out and we watch it and go, did you watch it? Yeah. And it's like, you just keep going, like, nothing happens. It's, and I really don't like Michonne. I can't.
She's gone. And
She went off
to find Rick because they found his, was it his, found something to be his, weren't
What they should have done is, in the early stages of the fire at the farm, Shane and that bird should have got on a bike and just left. And we never saw them. Now the ratings, but they could have turned up. How big would it have been?
Yeah.
Oh, Shane's back. You know, he was brilliant, that Shane.
Yeah, it was.
Because he was the first one to come back without getting bitten, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Because they had the fight, didn't they? Yeah. They just killed him. Yeah. And then he came back without being bitten by one of the sort of.
Yeah, because when he came back, I thought, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
What? When was this? What's going on?
Well, at the beginning of it, yeah, the only way you could change into one of them is you got bitten by one of them.
Right.
You died, and then you came back as one of them. But he didn't get bitten. Rick killed him in a fight.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And then they thought that's him. He's gone. He came back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's when that big explosion happened, and that bloke saying
he explained. Yeah,
he whispered to him, and we didn't know. And he said, "It's inside you. It's always inside you." Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, but I've lost interest.
Yeah.
It was so good. And I just don't think they can bring it back now, unless they get a really interesting character to go, sort of go it alone, and just go, and then I'll be interested again because I love the idea of one or two or five people going on a kind of trek and discovering things and seeing what they come across. But yeah, as soon as there was a town, what was the bad guy's name who used to have the heads of the walkers on his mantelpiece?
The governor.
As soon as that happened and there's a whole town, I just got really bored.
Well, I did think, what's going on here, when they arrived at that town and it all started with the governor, didn't
but
I?
You thought, what, they come across here? But then it's just a big town, people are safe, the episodes come and go and you see one zombie or whatever. And, I mean, do you remember the one they find down the well?
Yeah.
And they try and pull him out and it breaks him off.
Yeah.
Oh. See, that's when it was good, but anyway.
We should have done.
Yeah, we should have done Walking Dead special. So, I mean, we know where you're going to go, Pauline, but officially we need to hear
I'm going the Big Lebowski. The big Jurassic Park for me, definitely.
Yeah. It's the same for me, Dave. I did enjoy Big Lebowski, but Jurassic Park's, in my eyes, it's going to be tough to be beaten in this.
Okay, 3-0.
3-0, you as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a big player, isn't it? I mean, it's going to take a good film to stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Now we're going to end on the theme from Jurassic Park. No, we're not. I wish we could, but I don't have the rights to it. So this is Robots and Gods, which is a combination and a half. Robots and Gods, and this is more. And it's got a bit of a placebo feel to it. And I don't mean the drugs filled with sugars. I mean the band Placebo that was in the 90s. A little bit of a rock.
They might be devastated, you said that. They might hate Placebo.
Well, I'll take it back then.
Okay.
It's more like somebody who's popular. Thank you very much. That's how you get around that.